the book of Romans. As we look at the subject of death, one in the very death of Christ, that kind of faith that we see in the steps of Abraham. And this is a very helpful study for us as children of God, because we're called upon to examine ourselves and examine ourselves, see if we do in the faith. That's what I call upon you to do this morning. To examine yourself to see if you are in this faith, the depth of that faith of Abraham. Let me get our reading in verse 9. God has been granted us to be upon the uncertainty in all men, or upon the uncertainty in all men. For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it in Moses? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? When not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision, and he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had yet been uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed to them also. As the father of circumcision, who are not of the circumcision, often, but who also walked in the spirit of that faith of our father Abraham, which had been yet uncircumcised. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not Abraham, but to receive through the law, but through the righteousness of God. For they which are of the law, the heirs, through his many born, the promise made of not in vain, because the law works right. For where no law is, there is no faith. Therefore, it is no faith that might be by grace, so that the promise might be true to all the faith, not that thou which but the law, but that thou also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of the law, and who is now made you a father of many nations, before through whom he believed, even God, who quickened the dead and called those people to be done as though they were, through whom he spoke, believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so well as Jesus, and if not, would he probably be considered a son by the next man, when he was about 100 years old, made him as a descendant of Israel's womb. He suffered not as a son of God through unbelief, but was grown to faith, giving glory to God, and being both afraid that while he had promised, he was able also to perform, and therefore he was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it is not written for him alone that was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it is allowed to be imputed as we believe on him that represents Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses, and who was raised again for our sins. Let that word pray. Heavenly Father, the blessed Holy Spirit, and we thank you for the truth that you have answered me this morning. And we see of all the things of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the gifts of work, rescuing our soul from hell's grip and the devil's sin, and the burden and the condemnation of our sins. We give thanks to you too before Christ for all that you have done in accomplishing that wonderful redemptive work on our life. And we give this name the rich blessing to you for those people, that we will have open hearts, opened by the Holy Spirit, receptive minds, prepared by the Holy Spirit, that we might understand before the law was given, therefore he was not justified by the law of God, the law of God, and therefore we can fall down because we really get easy people. If you break one part of the law, you're guilty of the whole law. So they look then, we're justified by the work of the law. Jesus following something that I find quite interesting. I want you to turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 2, and look at verse 20. Let your eyes rise on the truth that is contained in this wonderful passage we all refer to. Look at what it says, Revelation 2, I am crucified with Christ also. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I live now in the flesh, I live by thee. Now notice this, the faith of the Son of God, who loves and brings us forth. All your picture of that same. The faith of the Son of God. So Paul now says, I live by my faith. Well, it was the faith. So we have faith that we never turn on. Jesus, the truth wants to prove to us. I live, he says, by the faith of the Son of God. It means that we live rightly of life. It means faith in the Son of God, but I think it is much more than that. It's by the faith of the Son of God. It means our faith, only is not only God that knows. But it originated when God gave truth, moved us to believe, proposed us to believe. Look at some of those passages. The book of the Bible of Jude, verse 3, it talks about completing what a thing that was once delivered into us. The thing was delivered. It originated with us. It was delivered. It was discovered by us. It was delivered unto the best. Well, we read here in verse 4 of chapter 4 about the step of that faith of Abraham. Very correct. And we draw these conclusions that faith is indeed a gift of God. Ephesians 2 and 9, by way of faith, we know and that murder is the gift of God. And so, when we ponder something like this, and we see this faith like that in Galatians 2, I live by the faith of the Son of God. We see this pounding out loud with total grace upon grace. Nothing of our goodness, but all the gift of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the resurrection is the resurrection of Abraham's faith, and then we're going to focus on the verse 4 of Jesus. Through Jesus, the verse 9 to 11, the first verse, the first aspect is the third, is the subject of circumcision. Circumcision was a symbol of faith. The Jews in Paul's day, in early Bible times, they relied upon and they boasted in the outward mark of circumcision, bringing all together that God had given that mark unto Abraham before the law was given. So she referred to that and looked at the scripture rightly. We were actually concluded that Abraham was a Gentile because he was specifically said of Abraham that he was righteous, declared righteous in faith before the 14 years before he was circumcised. And so that made a big vote. And they really turned circumcision into a condition of salvation. When you travel down the corridor of time, you will discover that there are today those who break the lines from the ordinance, or as we call it, a baptism. or the Lord's Supper. But remember, it's all God determines the time, the observing ordinances. But rather than to be justified as an ungodly who believes, only the ungodly who simply believes. So to regard baptism or the Lord's Supper or a man or a Christian or a confirmation, whatsoever to do with God's declaring righteous. It's a misunderstanding the doctrine of baptism by faith alone. In the Gospels of the cross, we're not told to cease being ungodly and then believe, but then ungodly to believe. So, neither circumcision nor baptism nor the Lord's Supper have the power to get anything whatsoever for a righteous God. Belongs only to the given word of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let him all that can give a broken sinner a righteous standing before a holy God. The Jesus Christ takes all the children, and he will totally block the rejection of even a little evil, and then declared righteous on the level of the whole thing. So, Abraham's faith was prospective, it was future looking, and then forward looking, and then it was concerning the school of faith. But if you look at that, it's better caution. And that is, Abraham was the father and the co-generator of national belief, and of course, more importantly, of spiritual. So here we see the city of Abraham's country was protected. It was called the law, prospective, forward looking, but now we see that it is described as even protected, natural and eternal. And I'm sure we're going to the book of the Bible in chapter 3. And let us see this confirmed in Paul's talking to the Israelites. In the book of chapter 3, we begin in verse 6. Abraham believed God and was chosen to be for righteousness. Know ye therefore that that which are of faith are the children of Abraham. And the Christians were treated by the justified of either who both preached before the gospel of the pronouncement of all things the question. So that which be of faith are blessed the faithful Abraham. For man are the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, curse is everyone that can be denied all that is written in the book of the law of sin. But that no man is justified by the law is not a law to be evident, for the church shall live by faith. And the law is not the law, but the man that does them shall live in the faith. And this is back to verse 9. That which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Now, here is a concluding argument by the Apostle Paul, a very strong argument. And it's the third that the single fact that Abraham's faith was productive is not only prospective, but it was productive. And he uses the argument concerning the law and the and plus, once again, in what for you and in the afternoon, if you are the same faith as Abraham, then you have a just standing before God. You declared righteous. All that not loose with those who are given here as well as the next portion of the life. So let's look at that third aspect of the which is the full faith, which is the full faith, and that is the truth of the faith. How do we see that? Well, look at those four. Abraham's faith was the faith. It's the third knowledge. In other words, it's the second of the promise was unfaltering faith. And then look at verse 41. Then came the faith. He was certain that God not only could, but would do what he word in something all linked up early in history. And those things were out of form. Brother Ray had lost his nephew with him. And it proved to be a sticking point for him. And how lost sometimes got in the soul. But look at this. The whole land before you, surrender. I pray you from the midst of your unstained door. If you will take the lesson that now goes to the rise, when you depart to the rise, and then I will go to the rest of the world, in verse 4:16. The Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from you, lift up now your eyes, and look from the place where you are, northward and southward, and eastward and westward. For all the land which you see, in your life, and your need forever. Abraham left all with Moses. There is a divine voice, separating voice. If you obey your son, that command of voice will leave your kingdom. And separate yourself from life. You go your way, and I'll go my way. Abraham was saying that to himself. But here it was, a part of separation. He was leaving all with God. God chose the choice for him, for the second of the Lord. Leaving it all with God. And I raise the question for us. Do you have that kind of a faith that will not only leave all for God, but will leave all with God? And someday it is God's will and most important in my life. The will of our Lord, not my will, but thine. This is a step of acknowledgement for him. This is not the cause of your conception. I'm calling about it. This is the effect of the religion. He didn't believe in the existence. God appears in you. You see the problem of his conception. Let me look at the third step. Finding all in God. For you, one don't go away. When you move all for God, and when you move all with God, we will find all in God. Actually, he's at chapter 15 on your own. He's at the 14 of you. You have the record of the account of Abraham, going to live to Lot, who was captured by some. And he took the two and he fitted those things. The Abraham was concerned about the new time and getting in battle again. But he also wanted that son. He wanted an heir. God had promised him this, and he wanted one because he was Jesus, were Charles. Well, he was not his son to him, verse 1 of this. After these things, the word of the Lord. And he's the one who is the field and the glory and the lifter up of your head. You find Psalm 2:4, verse 1, for the Lord God, it's his time to know the Lord will even grant him here. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. So God assures Abraham of safety happens, especially after the meal. After a reward, after receiving great reward, Abraham was saying, God was saying to him, that how much do you, Abraham, how much do you have to do this? I'm probably a man. He will be studying this God in his life. But he will also do this. for Christians, but they're all great at come back. And you scripture will suffer and become as a faith reveals him as Lord. In this study, Jesus is your master. You are under new management. He is the Lord. And as Lord, he is the year for which his will and his word. He is the year of the world. Do you have the end of Christ? Do you have the end of Christ? It's the best place on earth. And let all go down, and let all go down, and found all the gods that have brought you the form of yielding all to you. Parents, don't be stumbling off to your own children. Get your own first. It's more important than going to the city. It's probably that every Sunday is all about the heart of the person. It goes to the roots and sees the whole world. It's more important than anything that looks like Father and that he ends the whole world, but loses his soul. Parents, don't be stumbling blocks to your children. And children, don't let your parents be stumbling blocks unto you. Be good. We're called upon to be good. We're called upon to be faithful. We're called upon to be obedient. We're called upon to be able to pray, demonstrate, Father, we thank you for the word wrote, the word that's challenged us and corrected us. You are the Lord who preached the word that in instantly received them out of you, who rebuked and shortened all those weapons in doctrine. And Father, we have the people that and the doctrine and teaching to convert the world. And oftentimes we find ourselves blinded and thoughtful and strange in service to you. Let us bow ourselves, remember who we are, and who we are, that we are children of the Most High, we are children of the King, and let us conduct ourselves day by day in a manner that is worthy of the name that we are in the name of Christ. Let us be found faithful unto you. If we understand this, let us in love the spirit of faithfulness of the Lord. And for our belief in God, we trust Him for righteousness. If it's truly one of us, let us be confident and hold on to it. Not according to our works, but according to your own purpose. We can come with the whole time. Chosen out of the rest of the nation to be the children of God. May we pray not only with our lips, but with our lives as well. This morning, you have found by your sovereign grace called one out of salvation. And I see that you're calling one out of who all in, whose membership might be elsewhere, or who's strayed from you, and that means to be restored to personal peace. Whatever it is, we know that we need the praise and the honor and the glory that we have. In Christ's name, we ask.